Back, everyone. It's Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. It's 4:31 p.m. Eastern on the 7th of August. And as has been the kind of the custom lately, not every show, but a lot of shows, I'll start out with a clip. And this is more on what's going on in current affairs, particularly in regards to the COVID-19.
I read this at about 10 o'clock in bed, and I got really angry and had trouble sleeping for about an hour because I knew when I saw the headline what it was going to say, and I read it. CNN and others, because I thought, oh, God, this is a new PR rollout. So as soon as I read the article, I search engine the terms, and I saw hundreds of articles this week that I hadn't even come across where they are now saying that we will wear masks permanently outside and in our homes. And robot computers, the home assistants and all that will be mandatory, and they're going to watch you and make you wear a mask and breathe carbon dioxide. I mean, think of a cult movie made in the 90s or something where in the future you wear masks to go outside because you're scared of viruses that doesn't even really exist, and it's all total mental illness. And, yeah, they've announced robots are watching you to make you wear the mask. I mean, this is all over the news now. This is a total dystopic takeover. And Gates and the UN run the Wuhan, run China. It's all beta tested in China and Singapore, and now we do what they say. And it's total dystopia to get us ready for forced inoculations even more. But it's all here. It's not coming. It's here. It's here. It's here. I mean, we've got to stop them. We got to say no. Never comply with any of it. They're the enemy.
We are selling
and easily spread. While we have already closed all nightclubs and bars, these large house parties have essentially become nightclubs in the hills. Many times the homes are vacant or used for short-term rentals. And beyond the noise, the traffic, and nuisance, these large parties are unsafe and can cost Angelenos their lives. That is why tonight I am authorizing the city to shut off Los Angeles Department of Water and Power Service in the egregious cases in which houses, businesses, and other venues are hosting unpermitted large gatherings.
They have a name for this. It's called Siege. Now, you notice he's reading off a iPad. Remember what Gateway Pundit reported on Monday? Federal government testing how to brainwash the public at major universities with 15 data points about shame and anger and use other people being mean to you to force you. Let me give folks the headline. It's at GatewayPundit.com. Federal government and Yale are holding clinical trials on how to best persuade, close quote, that's brainwash, Americans to take COVID-19 vaccines. You watch that whole press conference. He goes over all 15. It's a script. It's a battle plan. They're the criminals. They lied to you. They cooked it up in the Wuhan lab. Fauci and Gates. It's a takeover plan. They're getting you ready for contact tracing. Apps on your phone. Forced inoculations. And they admit that's the plan. That's the whole plan. They're coming for your kids, your guns, your health. They're forcing GMO on everybody. It's on. They developed years ago COVID-19 vaccines of the very chimera. That's come out in the news. They are master criminals, and they bought off the media to gaslight everybody, and now the president can't even tweet and point this out or they block him. Imagine how much worse it's going to get. We're in the midst of an enemy takeover.
Well, I couldn't have said it better myself. We are in the midst of an enemy takeover. I really think the extreme left is working directly for George Soros and the Chinese communists. And this is how the U.S. is going to break up unless we stop all of this insanity that seems to be around us continually. Well, I thought I would jump back into the contact reports, and then maybe we'll go back to Mida thoughts after that, and maybe get back in a little bit of the fluido energies. But this is contact report 246, and it's Billy speaking with Ta. And he says, another question, this is Billy. Have there been any bases or stations of aliens on Venus or Mars during the last 1,000 years, or perhaps on Mercury or any other planet of the solar system, or perhaps on the Earth moon. Except on Earth and on the Earth moon, not know. And were these stations related to different extraterrestrials? On Earth, they all came to us without exception. While on Earth's satellite, there were also four bases which went to space traveling peoples who had no connection with us, but who had very little contact with Earthlings, which in no way refers to modern times. Billy. Aha, but that reminds me. We were once talking about your directives, by which you are bound to contacts with certain life forms or life forms of certain stages of development in such a way that you are not allowed to come in direct contact with them. Nevertheless, you have made an attempt via me to contact the American government. How does this harmonize with your instructions? Ta says, as you know, the connection between the American government and us could only have been such that you would have acted as a neutral mediator. Without us appearing, we would have been allowed by the directives to do this in a form of contact and connection. Billy says, understood. But now it's something completely different again. Recently I was asked which genre or types of life forms would have a sexual life. This happened in connection with allegations that the U.S. Americans had captured alien human life forms in a crash of a UFO or interplanetary missile, whereby these alien life forms had no sexual organs, no excrement outlets, no visible food intake, etc. Ta says, which of course is complete nonsense. For any material form of life, wherever it may be in the entire universe, requires a possibility of food intake, a possibility of the ejection of indigestible products, etc., and thus of excrement ejection. But with all materially existing forms of life of a higher kind, and so especially with human forms of life, it is given that they have a sexual organ or a reproductive organ. Billy says, that was also my answer, which I gave to the questioner, as Foth had already taught me when I was a titch, whatever a titch is, I guess that means a small boy. There are no higher life forms in the entire universe that do not reproduce sexually and do not have reproductive organs visible on the body. In contrast, only the lowest forms of life would reproduce independently without sex life. The self-reproduction, which is practically the result of cell division, and which also knows no sex instinct, is only peculiar to the lowest forms of life, which are incapable of evolution in any form. I thought this was very interesting, by the way, that because you hear a lot about this in the UFO world, where creatures were found in there and they didn't seem to really have a mouth and sex organs or whatnot. They were probably bio-robots if they were there at all. Higher forms of life, however, such as the terrestrial human being or even more highly developed humans of extraterrestrial origin, have all visible sex or reproductive organs. And these alone are capable of evolution in any form. This means that only those life forms are capable of evolution in any form, which also have reproductive organs and thus a sex life and a sex drive. It is also these forms of life alone which can adapt organically and physically to the ever-changing nature and environment in such a way as to conform to it. A certain intelligence is also associated with this development, which is naturally graded according to the form of life in question. If it can be higher or lower, i.e. purely instinctive and instinctive, as is usually the case with animals, but then also consciously controlled, as is the case with all forms of human life existing in the universe, only forms of life that can be classified as higher or high are capable of development, whereby all these higher or high forms of life without exception have sexual or reproductive organs, as well as sexual instinct and thus a sexual life, whereby the sexual organs or reproductive organs appear visibly on the body, even if, for example, they are not in the same state as the human body. When, for an example, a life form, the human life form, should already have evolved to such an extent that a transfer of semen from the male to the female life form affected by the power of consciousness can be carried out. But this is not customary, not even among those capable of this, but only in certain cases as an exception. Svath also explained to me that in about 20% of all existing life forms in the universe as a whole, they have to be classified as higher or high, and that without exception. They also have sexual organs and exercise a corresponding sexual life. Even all highly developed human life forms that still have material body, the other 80% only to low and lowest forms of life, which are not capable of sexual reproduction and also do not have any sexual organs. You know, I just was thinking cats and dogs even have visible sexual organs and therefore cannot reproduce sexually, nor can they evolve. Their proliferation occurs solely through cell division, which is only characteristic of the lower and lowest forms of life. Although mutations can occur as a result of certain influences in the cell division process. Ta says, your words need no further explanation, for they are correct in every detail and detailed enough to be understood in good form. Then a question about the blood groups in humans. Do all blood groups usually exist equally differently among all peoples, or is one of the other blood group more pronounced among the other? The natural rule is that a certain blood group is always predominant among a certain people, whereas mixed blood groups appear only among mixed peoples, whereby such mixed peoples can often no longer be recognized as such in recent times, because their mixing already took place in ancient times. Now they go on to talk about the Gulf Breeze UFOs, and it's going to say they weren't real. Now I've always thought they were. So, you know, I get myself in trouble because sometimes I have different opinions or different perspectives than sometimes that the Myers stuff brings out. But I try to, you know, keep an open mind about all of it. I try not to be dogmatic. There is a Wikipedia page on the Gulf Breeze. I used to have a colonel from the Air Force on. I'm forgetting his last name. His first name was Don or Donald. And he flew an F-105 in Vietnam. Can't believe I'm drawing a blank on his last name. He's a real nice guy. He was really up on these Gulf Breeze incident. But let me read a little bit from here. The Gulf Breeze... Donald Ware was his name. Suddenly that popped in my head. The Gulf Breeze UFO incident was a series of claimed UFO sightings in Gulf Breeze during 1987. Beginning in November 1987, the Gulf Breeze Sentinel published a number of photos supplied to them by a local contractor, Ed Walters, that were claimed to show a UFO. Ufologists such as Bruce McAbee believed the photographs were genuine. However, others strongly suspected them to be a hoax, so maybe the Meyer material is correct. Pensacola News Journal reporter Craig Myers investigated Walters' claims a few years later, criticizing the Sentinel's coverage of the story as uncritical and sensationalist. Myers was able to duplicate Walters' UFO photos almost exactly using a styrofoam model UFO in the attic of the house where Walters had been living at the time the UFOs were published. So who knows? I guess make up your own mind. Or you can believe the Meyer case, which is fine. I mean, you know, usually Billy is right. I'm trying to find a couple more articles about this. Very interesting. I do got a text here. There's a Google book about that talks something about this. So maybe we'll move on. And I'm just going to look for Donald Ware real quick. Wow. It's kind of like he's off the internet. This is weird. I think he had, this is very weird. And I tell you what, there's still stuff out here from him, but they're really screwing with the internet. They are the global elite, the New World Order, as I was talking about yesterday, I think it was. Okay, so Billy says that Gulf Breeze was a fake. Ta says, all this nonsense is well known to me. It's all just a big fake lie and fraud of a charlatan and fame addict. Now they're going to talk about an extraterrestrial group called the Hasters that I think I've talked about on this show a fair amount. They had a base, an undersea base somewhere here on the planet. And I think for some reason it comes to mind that it was in a northern sea area, in a European area. So I don't remember exactly. But let's continue here. It says, that's how I accessed everything. Then to the next question, still at Samyasi's time, that emerges from the contract report of January 3rd, 1981. The extraterrestrial people from the planet Haster appeared in the terrestrial airspace, which travels. What does that say? Contact report, January 3rd, 1981. Extraterrestrial people from the planet Haster appeared in the terrestrial airspace, which travels in the system guarantee of the galaxy Janan. Seems like it doesn't fit. Maybe it's a translation error. It was said that these travelers at that time were interested in making contact with some Earthlings. However, I heard nothing more about it and assume that this did not happen. Ta says, your assumption is correct. We ourselves have tried to enlighten the Hasterians, after which they gave up their project and left the Earth again without having achieved anything. Billy says, Andron, I haven't seen the new Lich for a long time. Where is it now? I don't know what. It's just changed subject here? What happened? Ta says, he had some tasks to fulfill on the planet Canadin. Is Billy talking about one of these Haster people? Billy says. And where is this planet speeding through the world space, if you may ask? About 161,000 light years from Earth in a system we call Naranja. You are once again sparse with information. What is the galaxy called? Sundajaris. It is known to earthly astronomy science in this space-time structure as the neighboring galaxy Magellanic Cloud. I think I've heard of that. And they're going to switch gears here and talk about the Christian religion a little bit, where they say that 62 million people were killed by the Christian church. At least I think that's what they're saying. This is a little disjointed, the way this has been worded and things. It's sometimes very hard to read this. Oh, and this is interesting about the speed of light. You know, we're always told that no matter can move faster than the speed of light, but maybe that's not the case. Here, Billy says, "You are too kind with your praise, so please don't do that and answer me the following question. When creation was created by the Big Bang, it must have been that the explosion speed was much higher than 147 times the speed of light. In my opinion, the first velocity, the center explosion expansion speed, if I may call it that, must have had the speed of creation and 107,000 times the speed of light. Otherwise, it would not have been possible that the enormous vastness of the universe could have come into being. That's right, isn't it?" Pita says, "Of course." Haha, so there we go. So much, what do we know? The matter in the universe actually moves faster than light during the Big Bang, so obviously there's some way to do it. Of course, Billy says, "Of course, really can't be any different. But how long did this speed last? In my opinion, it must have been just 1 second, or even just one nano moment. Because if you consider that creation is able to cross the whole universe with one thought, due to its 107,000-fold speed of light, practically in a nano moment, or even in the no decompression time, if I may call it that, then my assumption should exactly apply. It should be noted, however, that the explosion started from a center and spread ovoidly, so that the nano moment for 107,000 times the speed of light only applies to the radius. While in reality, the double expansion must be measured from the center. Because during the nano moment, the universe spread ovoidly to all sides. So a nano moment in all sides is an ovoid frame." Not sure why that's the case, but... so maybe we'll leave it there. And I haven't left much time for our discussion on the might of thoughts and the importance of feelings. Feelings grow out of the thoughts. Feelings are life-sustaining. Feelings enable quick processing of internal and external stimuli. Feelings simplify things. Feelings make life easier and bearable. Feelings allow the thoughts to discharge so that they don't get too hot. Feelings deliver their power to the psyche, which... if you have negative feelings and you deliver negative power to the psyche, it's very disturbing. And I speak from experience. Feelings manifest slowly, which is the difference between feelings and emotions. Feelings grow out of the thoughts generally slowly, where emotions kind of explode in some ways. The feelings can be of a long-lasting duration as opposed to emotions, which are usually short. So the emotions explode, they're gone, you know, that sort of thing. If it were not for the feeling, the thoughts would become confused. Like tangled ideas confuse the thoughts and cause them to go from one extreme to another, which is not good. There was another section that I have been looking at today, and it's page 142, and I'll read just the beginning of this line. Actually, let me start on page 138, which I think... this is so important. "The circumstances from which suffering grows in the human being are the product of the might of his or her own thoughts, and therefore also thereby also the product of his or her own mental disharmony, which is expressed through his thoughts and feelings. So important. Your mental disharmony is related to your suffering. So if you have suffering, you can always, 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 you can feel the mental disharmony. And a lot of time emotion will come. Remember we said the emotion exploding outward. You can probably think of a circumstance in the past week or two where you've had a situation where your circumstances and the suffering was growing. And while that suffering was growing, you had a mental disharmony internally. Now, the opposite of that is mental harmony. And let me read this. Consequently, the circumstances which the human being meets with grace, joy and enjoyment, are also the result of his or her own thoughts and feelings, and thereby the result of his or her own mental disharmony, or harmony, excuse me, not disharmony, harmony. So if you have suffering circumstances in your life right now, try to look in objectively. People have a hard time being objective sometimes. And tell yourself, if you're honest with yourself, gosh, yes, I have mental disharmony. Something occurred which was quite unfortunate, and it caused you some frustration, some anger, that sort of thing. So you have mental disharmony. Your emotions may have kind of erupted. You've got some tangled ideas. So that means you haven't thought everything completely through. If you think things through a little bit later, some of that mental disharmony will go away, and then you'll stop your suffering. Disharmony. Synonyms would be discord, discord, discordance, dissension, dissonance, disunity, friction, strife. Probably you could say that mental disharmony, it's the circumstances for suffering to grow. So we don't want suffering to grow. Whatever happens, we don't want suffering to grow. You know, nobody likes suffering. So deal with the mental disharmony. Look internally. And it may require you to take action on some things and to fix some things, some problems that are occurring. So recognize your mental disharmony and try to get back to a neutral positive state, which think about a neutral thing. And you know, another thing I'm learning is that, oh, I wanted to read this in German. Nedar Gedanken formen Nedar Gefühlen Nedar Gewohnheiten Nedar Umständen. And what that means is lower thoughts form lower feelings, lower habits, and lower circumstances. So we don't want these lower thoughts to take over, because that is the mental disharmony. Nedar Gedanken formen Nedar Gefühlen Nedar Gewohnheiten Nedar Umständen. Lower thoughts form lower feelings, lower habits, and lower circumstances. Remember, a habit is a settled or regular tendency or practice, especially one that is hard to give up. So develop good habits rather than lower habits. And it can be helpful to you, because some things that are habits, they tend to stick with you, which is, if they're good habits, that's good. That's a really good thing. Anyway, you've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a great day.